Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Max Hurst, our good buddy, drop by at 9:30. We'll get into the matchup between Vanderbilt and Mississippi State with him coming up later this hour at 9:30. But first, Joe, let's talk about how we got to this point. What a wild weekend it was for the Vandy boys in this tournament in Omaha, taking on NC State. When we left on Friday morning, didn't know what a weekend we were in store for with Vanderbilt at the College World Series. They took on NC State that day, and I was driving home. I had a couple places I had to stop by after the show on Friday to pick up some things, and I got back in the car, and I heard Darren McFarland of Darren Donick and Chase talking on the radio, and he was talking about, you know, he's got a buddy that's a big NC State guy, and he was telling him, hey, congrats to Vandy. And Darren was like, all right, what are you talking about? He said, you know, there's a bunch of guys in the NC State program that have sickness / COVID issues. And the guys on Darren Donick and Chase were just kind of batting that back around, back and forth. That was the first time that I had heard anything about NC State and a sickness and maybe with some COVID issues as well. And I said, all right, well, that's interesting. We'll see what happens in terms of the game that was supposed to start at 1 o'clock on Friday. It did not start at 1 o'clock on Friday. Kumar Rocker is warming up for the game. It gets pushed back. It gets delayed. Game finally starts at, I think, about 2:07 on Friday. And you look out in the warm-up and at the national anthem, there are 13 guys available for NC State. They've got 9 position players, one of which is a pitcher, and Sam Heifel, 4 guys in the bullpen as well, 13 players. They played pretty well, I thought, for the most part, given the circumstances. Vandy ultimately gets it done 3-1 in the end. And you thought, okay, well, maybe NC State, the tests come back in. They've got more players that could be available for Saturday's game and a winner-take-all game. We've got our bet about Jack Leiter starting. I mean, things were looking exciting for Saturday. And then in the wee hours of Saturday morning, news comes out that the game's not going to be taking place. NC State's time at the College World Series is done, and Vanderbilt is moving on to the College World Series final. Joe, just quickly, and we'll get to kind of some of the reaction on social media and that we've seen coming out of NC State coming up here in just a few minutes, but just your initial reaction to the craziness that was this weekend between Vanderbilt and NC State and the series ultimately being canceled.
It was wild, man. I mean, and honestly, I will say for me, I think for us, for people who aren't in this world and used to doing this stuff constantly as they all are, I mean, I've kind of just drifted away from even thinking about it much, yeah. You know? And now we've already seen, and this is going to intensify, like with the NFL and the push to try to get players to vaccinate, and certain teams have good rates and some teams don't, and that's going to be – so that's been out there, but – you know, the NCAA tournament was a different, like basketball when VCU, for example, that was still a very different time period than things are in this country now because of the vaccine. You know, the AP had a thing out. The AP wrote a story this weekend. So 0.1% of people who are deaths or hospitalizations right now are people who are vaccinated. You know, I mean, it's made a huge difference across the world in terms of lowering this, and it's kind of gone out of mind. But NC State had some stuff that was Monday, which no one noticed at the time. Cliff Avant's talking about guys on his team being sick, and I guess kind of thinking, you know, it's a flu bug or something like that going through the team, and then over the next few days, that turns into a testing situation. I would recommend Kendall Rogers' story for D1Baseball.com. Does a great job covering college baseball. He went through all this with NCAA people, with NC State people, the timeline and how it all broke down. And it's still like the thing when you go through it is still like, okay, so then how does this turn into – I mean, they're just kind of waiting around Saturday night. They all get tested. They're kind of waiting around, and then it's like, yeah, you're out. And I understand the frustration. I totally do. Look, I mean, I think anybody who's been following this is frustrated by this. It sucks. I mean, they were a great story, and you hate to see people work like this forever and ever to get to a certain point, and then it just gets ripped away. But again, I mean, like you have to follow that up to me with if you didn't have a certain number of guys vaccinated on your team, then you knew, you had to know that this was a possibility. So as painful as it is, like Vanderbilt, for example, and I don't know the exact number, but Vanderbilt is vaccinated to the point where they weren't getting tested. They did get tested after this, by the way,
yep,
and all came out fine. And that's one of the things that's been consistent, too, is that the games themselves really haven't been spreaders. But the fact that we're talking about all this stuff is frustrating still now because it's, you know, like you're moving on in a lot of ways, but it's still here and there's different variants and the vaccinations are important. And so now you have just a lot of anger, and then it turns into, one, just fake garbage that comes out of some of this stuff, just probably from people who are just upset and want to find someone to blame. And then two, you know, just turns into just a lot of the same discussions that have at this point have gone just over and over again, around and around in a circle, that if people are entrenched on one side or the other, they're never going to come out of there anyway.
Well, and that happened all over the place this weekend. I did what I typically do on the weekends, and that is, generally speaking, avoid Twitter as much as possible because it's truly an awful place for the most part. But that's what I did this weekend. But I did see some of the reaction, a lot of it on NC State Twitter, about some vitriol being directed towards Tim Corbin and this program, saying it's an asterisk that they've gotten here to begin with. NC State was the hot team coming in to this series. They had played well. We saw Sam Heifel and what he did against Vanderbilt in the week before that in this matchup. And you would think he would probably be the one pitching on Saturday had the game taken place. But also kind of taking a quote from Tim Corbin over the weekend, which he said after the game on Friday and running with it. And the quote was, quote, "We got a positive outcome. And at this point, I don't care what it looks like. It doesn't matter. We're still here. We're still playing. And that's all that matters." Now, that was taken and run with on NC State Twitter and all over the place yesterday and on Saturday as well. Now, that quote came from Friday after the game, after Tim Corbin had talked about kind of the process of what it was like before the game, getting to that point, and everything heading into what they thought was still going to be a winner-take-all game on Saturday. That did not happen after the game was canceled Saturday, and the positive outcome part of that quote people ran with, saying that that's not a good look from Tim Corbin, all this stuff. It was kind of a wild reaction on Twitter and on social media all weekend to Tim Corbin, and I thought all of it was just ridiculous at this point.
And you know that's going to happen, but then when like media members feed into that, I mean, you know, you got to be better than that. And then, of course, there's just the whole – I mean, actually, I've got it right up. I've got the Kendall Rogers story. I mean, he goes timeline, you know, this hour, this day, that – I don't see the part where Tim Corbin made all this happen. That must be an omission from the story.
Must be.
The part where Tim Corbin was the one who, hey, you better test those kids.
He's in there with a face shield and gloves on with some, just in there tests.
Come on. Get in line. Get in line, boys. Let's go.
Or maybe Corbin told him not to report it. He's wielding a lot of power here.
Yeah, he is.
So if he's going to be able to conduct all these tests, sure enough, you can probably silence a reporter.
It was interesting logic out there this weekend.
So who hates Corbin more right now, NC State fans or Mississippi State fans?
At the moment, probably NC State fans.
But see, the
thing
is,
pretty close, though.
Yeah.
But Mississippi State fans have hated him for a while.
Right. Like, they actually have – I mean, NC State fans have no reason to be mad at him for anything at all. Like, no reason. And at least Mississippi State fans have history.
Sure.
You know, they beat him in Super Regional. Yeah. I mean, Vanderbilt is the – is the thing, the hump to get over right now. But and of course they have their, I mean, they are convinced that all of Vanderbilt's players are on double secret scholarship right now, for sure. Like scholarship plus, you know, then you get like graduate scholarship and you know, various different meal plans and things like that they don't get it. Poor 11.7 scholarship Mississippi State.
Christopher on Periscope says, "I'm upset at two things. One, the timing, telling people at 1 a.m., and two, nobody is getting the pedicure."
We've addressed this, so I'll repeat it. And Robbie and I agree.
I agree.
And frankly, like, Porth is overruled. So I'm sorry, but he's overruled. If we get Tim Corbin on the show after this is all over, and he will confirm either way that he was going to start Jack Leiter, or, as I strongly believe, he was going to hold off on Jack Leiter until today regardless. Either way, if he will confirm it, then we will proceed.
We'll proceed.
Heidi, we will come get our feet, or someone
scrubbed.
Will. Yeah, scrubbed and clipped and buffed. It'll be beautiful.
It will be. Jack Leiter, that's what I mean, after Vanderbilt won the game Friday, I was like, here we are. One of us is getting a pedicure. Either Jack Leiter's going to start on Saturday or he's not. And then the game did not take place. So I think
That's the real sad thing here.
It really is.
I mean, that's all fine with NC State, but that's the real loser here.
I think Porth was kind of like breathing a sigh of relief because I felt like there was a pretty high chance he was going to back out of this, and now he can play it off as, oh, well, the game just didn't take place. I don't think we should let him out of it that easy. My wife was devastated by the news, by the way. She was really looking forward to me getting a pedicure.
I know. Like, I'm looking forward to her enjoying you getting a pedicure.
She
like
will be there.
That will be entertaining.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Some good video. Close-up.
Really nice zoom-in quality there.
Yeah.
Should be good. We'll continue the discussion when we come back. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt advancing to the College World Series final. How did they get there? What do you make of the way they get there? And if they win, should there be an asterisk next to this national title? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 tonight from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage. Featuring Nashville SC players and coaches, tonight's special guest will be Nashville SC coach Gary Smith. Watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and at thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage, brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Vanderbilt and their trip to the College World Series Finals. They'll be taking on Mississippi State beginning tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shane from Ashland City texting in. The protocols are in place before games. We all wanted to see the game. Some of us hoped if they did beat Vandy, they'd win the whole thing. But the NCAA has one major job, protect the kids, and I feel that's exactly what they did. We've already seen how fast it spreads. If the NCAA doesn't do something more, kids could get sick along with giving it to other teams. Very proud of the NCAA for making a tough call.
Wow. Very proud of the NCAA.
Those words did not expect to hear that uttered together very often.
Yeah. All right.
But there you go.
Well, the governor of North Carolina wants to fire Mark Emmert and sign this petition NC State gets back in the tournament. Maybe you should
just focus on the first part, and I think you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, you'd get a strong majority, but maybe you should fire Tim Corbin, and then that's the key because he's the one who's keeping them out of the tournament.
Yeah,
somehow.
Apparently so.
I try to avoid like the whole vaccination discussion and all that. I mean, they're young, healthy, for sure. And I get why people are like, gosh, got a whole stadium full of people with no masks next to each other who they're not checked. But again, for anybody wondering that, well, those people are sitting out there. These people are, you know, these are the student-athletes who are taking part in this tournament. And there's a total different level legally, for one thing, to always keep in mind
in
those two groups of people. So, I mean, these things are in place, you know. Now, Tim Corbin was asked yesterday, speaking of vaccinations, about mandating players, which is not what Vanderbilt does, by the way. And I wrote this in my column today, but the university is mandating this. They announced this in May. So in the fall, if you are a Vanderbilt student, you must be vaccinated, coming in or returning. So that means, like, for example, this fall, when we get into the SEC football weekends, you can just know Vanderbilt's team is vaccinated.
Yep.
It's a student policy. But that is not the case right now. But Vanderbilt, whatever the percentage is, it's very high for this team. But I think that's also true of a lot of teams. I mean, I have no idea how many teams were like NC State that were as low as they were, but I think most were much higher. And that's – I mean, you're opening the door. You are risking something like this.
Well, and a lot of people talked about, you know, Tim Corbin being upset over the weekend in the Friday game. he was probably upset because he had no clue what was going on.
That's exactly it.
I mean, Kumar Rocker's out there warming up. And again, it's not like Rocker's in the bullpen just like casually tossing. Like, he is firing pitches in there, warming up, getting his arm ready to go. And it's kind of a routine you get into that you got your arm loose, you feel good about your command, you're going in. And to then sit there for another hour, I mean, you got to get warmed up again after that. Those are pitches that at that point are being thrown that are extra. So that's why Tim Corbin was upset. Not much communication on that front to Vanderbilt before the game Friday.
Right. Like the dumb Corbin stuff could be just completely made up out of the blue. A lot of stuff is. But if there's any, you know, like someone at NC State saw that he was furious and somehow took that as he's mad and he's going to make sure we all get tested or whatever. No, he was mad because he got no information. He got no information. He had no idea what was going on. His pitcher gets going, and then it's like shut him down. And he's just like everybody else at that point, basically. Like, what is happening? He didn't know. And that's how it works. I mean, that's how it goes. They're not – you know, obviously NC State is having constant discussions with the NCAA people about this because it's their issue. But, I mean, Tim Corbin, he's talking yesterday in his presser. You know, he gets all these messages on his phone. It's like 1:30 in the morning. He's just like everybody else. Like, what? And then he stays up all night. He and Maggie Corbin just stay up all night. Like, you can't go back to sleep after that.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out what you tell your team. I mean, those guys, like anybody who thinks, like, first of all, if you get to this level of sports, of whatever sport it is, you think anybody wants a free pass to something or doesn't want to play this game, doesn't want to prove that they can beat that team at their very best? I mean, come on. You don't get to where you are if that's how you look at things.
Well, and now the discussion from the NC State type side of things and those that are against Vanderbilt, and now which apparently includes all of America, according to some people in Mississippi, is if Vanderbilt goes on and wins – is this tainted? Like, is this national championship, if Vanderbilt were to win, should there be an asterisk next to it? Because NC State had 13 players on Friday. They had already beaten Vanderbilt with Sam Heifel once. They were the hot team heading into that matchup. What do you think? Now that Vanderbilt has come through and they are going to be in the College World Series finals, they start tonight against Mississippi State. Do you view this championship any differently if you're a Vanderbilt fan, or certainly if you're an opponent or someone who doesn't want to see Vanderbilt win this championship? How do you think this goes in the grand scheme of things if Vanderbilt is able to pull this off in the next three games and win their second consecutive national title?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be some NC State fans who go to their graves believing that Tim Corbin, like, somehow created the situation this weekend. There will be fans, if Vanderbilt wins it, who are like, that doesn't count.
Yep.
You know, whatever. I mean, the other side of it, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, like, will you enjoy this any less or think any less of it? I mean, I would hope not. If they win two games against Mississippi State, you should celebrate it like any other championship. I'm sure along the way, somewhere in their other two, you know, was there a stroke of good luck in there somewhere? Was someone hurt? I mean, how many championships or non-championships or woulda, coulda moments because someone had a major injury at the worst time? I mean, shoot, I think the Golden State Warriors were going to win it all 2 years ago, and then Klay Thompson tore his ACL. They were making this incredible comeback against the Raptors, and then they were done. So, I don't know. The Raptors are still the champ. They got the title, right?
Yeah.
That still counts. I mean, it's a different situation, but it's bad luck for your opponent. It's not your fault that you're on this side of the bracket, and here's what's in front of you, and now it's not in front of you anymore.
Well, and they've said this, but like, Tim Corbin didn't want to go to the final this way. Like,
hell,
he's
no.
Like, yeah, let's have them have to forfeit and not be able to play. Like, they didn't want this. But, and I'm glad somebody brought this up too, because somebody on the text line says, I've seen Twitter saying Vanderbilt should do the right thing and refuse to play until NCAA lets NC State back in.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
like, totally. No, that's not what you do. It's okay to be upset at the way that this took place, and you feel bad for NC State and all that stuff. You're also just going to be not going to be like, well, okay, we're not going to play now because this wasn't the right way to go about it. It's not Vanderbilt's fault. It's just what happened.
No one would do that. No one should expect anyone to do that. Now, I will say this, that if it's true that, and Kendall Rogers reported this, that Mississippi State would have been awarded the national championship had NC State won on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that goes contrary to what I believe a lot of this is revolving around, which is you've got some TV inventory here of value. Like, if that's the case, I guess why wouldn't you have pushed things back to I mean, is it that? I mean, I understand Omaha, there's a lot of logistics there that come into play. But wouldn't people, like, rather see the games? And then if you could take that a step further, could we not have pushed this back on the behalf of NC State in some way?
Maybe. I mean, are you pushing the other series back, too? You're just stopping? Everybody's hanging out in Omaha for 5-7 days, whatever it is?
I mean, the difference between this and the other situations like VCU, and although, I mean, Michigan and Notre Dame hockey, I mean, that's a small tournament to start. Rice women's volleyball. So, I mean, you're talking about a team right on the cusp of maybe winning it. That's where this is different from the other tournaments. And, right. I mean, look, honestly, if you flipped it around and they said, you know what, we're gonna take our time, push it all back, because we don't think a team should have to forfeit at this stage of the tournament, I wouldn't have been mad about it. Vanderbilt fans, I don't know, would they have been mad about it? Maybe. But, I mean, I think that's the case to be made. But, again, that's the NCAA. They've decided to go about it this way. Vanderbilt does what is put in front of them. And now it's Mississippi State.
And now it's Mississippi State, and that begins tonight at 6 o'clock for Vanderbilt on ESPN2. Kind of an interesting battle coming up for the doors. You've got a team that doesn't strike out a whole lot in Mississippi State, and a pitching staff that does strike out a lot of people. I mean, Vanderbilt is second in the nation in strikeouts. The team that's ahead of them is Mississippi State. So you would figure that there may not be a lot of offense in this series, and you're going to have to take advantage. When you have opportunities to score and you've got runners in scoring position, you're going to have to come up with some timely hits in this series, because both of these pitching staffs probably not going to give you very much in this series, both on Vanderbilt and Mississippi State.
Yeah, and of course the difficulty is their ace, Will Bednar, went Saturday.
Yep.
6+, almost 100 pitches. You know, and he leads them with 135 strikeouts. So three guys really are the guys who blow people away. Christian McLeod starting tonight, number 2 starter. You know, good. He's got a 4.61 ERA. I mean, you know, 2.44 batting average against. He's not overwhelmingly dominant, but 113, you know, strikeouts in 82 innings. And, of course, you know, Landon Sims, 12 saves, just ridiculous stuff. He's got 96 strikeouts in 53 innings. And certainly you'll see him, but I'm guessing if it got to a Wednesday, it would be Rocker on 4 days rest, which is, I mean, even that, you know, maybe a shorter outing, even if he's going well. But what about Bednar? What would be the situation for him on 3 days rest on Wednesday? So Mississippi State fans are mad about that too. But again, like, I would say to them, Leiter was going to be facing you up tonight regardless. They may not believe that. You may not believe that. I believe that.
I disagree. Josh on the text line says, I bet Corbin heard about your bet and tried to manipulate it by getting the game canceled so no one can start. So maybe we're at fault here for getting the NC State game canceled. Corbin, all the power that he has, he's wielding it, according to Josh, to cancel our bet.
So basically just so that none of our feet are exposed to any other humans?
To the public, yes.
Yeah, it's actually a public health service that Tim Corbin has done for everyone.
Community service there by Tim Corbin. We appreciate it. When we come back, we'll be joined by Max Herz, our very own Max Herz of the Anchor Down podcast. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the College World Series final between Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. And to help us do that, well, we had Max. We've lost him now on the phone line, so we'll try to get him back into the fold. Max Herz joining us here in just a second from the Anchor Down podcast. Also does great work with the SEC Network as well. Interested to get his takes on what we saw this weekend and to look ahead at the matchup itself. As you look at this Vanderbilt lineup, Joe Rexrode, how do they get those bats going? Still, I think a little bit of a concern. Didn't play quite as well on Friday either as I thought they would heading into that matchup given the circumstances. What do you think about this lineup? How much confidence do you have that this lineup can bounce back and start to hit the ball with a little bit more regularity than we've seen so far in Omaha?
Well, I think they can certainly be better than they've been in Omaha. Obviously, this whole NC State thing, NC State scored all of a run against you a week ago, right? So, I mean, it's been an incredible run for NC State. And, hey, to me, Sam Heifel's the best baseball player in the world based
apparently
on what I've seen last week. But still, like, Jack Leiter held them to a run, and you couldn't scratch out a run or two to help him out. Like, good for NC State, but also, like, you've got to be better.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Max Herz from the Anchor Down podcast and the SEC Network as well. Max, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Morning, guys.
Appreciate you taking time to join us, Max. Let's start with just your reaction to what we saw over the weekend, a crazy situation between NC State and Vanderbilt, the game being canceled on Saturday after NC State plays with 13 players available to them on Friday. What did you think of how everything went down and now Vanderbilt advancing to the College World Series finals?
Yeah, it's weird to really have anything to say about it just because the whole situation kind of explains itself. And also, I'm not there, and I would be there, and I imagine Joe would probably also be there if the NCAA hadn't told media, don't come,
yeah,
cover our event.
True.
Because of COVID. And an entire team ends up getting COVID, and guess what? It wasn't from the media. So it sucks. It's absolutely horrible. This is the worst-case scenario for anybody. It's been 3 months since we've heard about a game being delayed due to health and safety protocols. I honestly forgot what it felt like. It's a helpless feeling, and it sucks for everybody. I'm glad they let NC State play at least one, but yeah, I mean, I don't know if there are really any takes to be had about this. It's a terrible situation that really speaks for itself, I think.
So we've been talking a ton, Max, about, you know, the weekend and the ridiculousness and some of the reaction and some stuff that probably shouldn't have had as much oxygen as it did, but it did, and it got to everyone. And it, I mean, just things like this opened the door for so much stupidity. But we haven't really talked about, like, Vanderbilt and how they react to this, if there's any impact. I thought yesterday, and a couple other people mentioned to me, they certainly were not like the normal excited kind of team you might encounter going into, you know, the final series of the College World Series. Now, granted, Zoom press conferences also don't get people excited, and Kamar Rocker, any press conference doesn't get him excited. So, I mean, you have to take it all with a grain of salt. But what do you think, like, how do you think these guys respond on the field to all this stuff tonight?
Well, I think the little hint we get of that is what happened in the game on Friday. And that game was close. That was a really, really close game. And it was, for the most part, a good game, even though NC State really had half their team, which just shows how thin the line is between a win and a loss at any point in college baseball, which is what makes it so great. And, I mean, we don't usually get to see examples of that in the College World Series. Like, this year we saw North Alabama, who was third to last in the RPI, come to Vandy for a midweek and almost win. Vandy won that game 3-2. We don't really get to see examples of that on the biggest stage until an NC State team loses half their team. They have their ace playing first base. And I mean, you're looking at that lineup, you don't even know who's a hitter and who isn't because of how little their bench guys play. So I think that kind of shows you maybe Vandy didn't play their best that game, but also shows you that anybody can win at any time. So I'm with you. I mean, the Zoom press conference kind of sucks a lot of the normal life out of it yesterday. And again, they told media not to go, so I'm not there. I don't have a pulse on what exactly the team is like as I normally would, but I think they'll be okay. And I think the big thing, as everybody continues to talk about NC State, that they're forgetting is Mississippi State is Vanderbilt's biggest baseball rival. And to me, it isn't really close. And I think maybe Louisville is second because of the postseason history, and Tennessee because of how good they were this year and how good that series was has jumped their way up to third. But Mississippi State has been Vandy's biggest baseball rival for, I would venture to say, probably 5 full years. So that's going to bring out the best of them just like it did when they played the regular season in April.
So, Max, with that in mind, I mean, obviously you're in Omaha now and all these teams are good. There's great pitching on all these teams that have gotten to this point. But the lineup has been up and down with Vanderbilt so far, and some of the guys that they've relied on all year have not hit the ball quite as well in this tournament. What are you seeing right now from guys like Isaiah Thomas and Carter Young? I mean, you can go up and down the list with this Vanderbilt lineup. And how much confidence that you have that maybe a resurgence offensively could take place against Mississippi State beginning tonight?
Yeah, the problem for those two guys especially has been swing and miss, which I've kind of always said, really this season especially, you can't complain about swing and miss because that's everybody's problem right now on offense in college baseball and in Major League Baseball. But yeah, Young hasn't had too many big swings. Thomas got benched. I mean, he's not hurt or anything. He was taken out against a righty starter. They wanted an extra lefty bat in there. But the fact that Vandy has gone to Troy Leneve and Javi Vaz as regulars at this point would have been a huge surprise 5 or 6 weeks ago. But that's the hot hand they found in the lineup, and that's not something they had to do in 2019. They hadn't had to go searching for a new everyday player, or in this case, too. So I think everyone will get their shot in the final series. I don't know exactly what a Game 1 lineup would look like, but I imagine they go back to Thomas and that it was just one game off.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. And Vaz has been, I mean, he's been a revelation. I mean, he's really been a spark for this team, including – man, those two pitches he took that really created the win over Stanford. So, Max, on the pitching front, first of all, I mean, we haven't gotten you in on this. Would Jack Leiter have started Saturday, or would Jack Leiter have been rested and been the game one starter against Mississippi State either way?
I initially thought he would have. If anything, I've moved a little bit away from that, but I'll take Robbie's side.
You'll take Robbie's side. That hurts, man.
Get out of here, Rex Road.
That hurts. All right, we're gonna get down to the bottom of this. Well, okay, so we know now that he's starting. First of all, how big of a deal is it on the bullpen front to not play that game? Again, Vanderbilt wanted to play that game, but you weren't going to have Murphy for that game. You were probably going to really stretch McIlvain and Maldonado in that game. Now you got everybody. And then – do you think it would, if they get to a game three? I mean, Tim Corbin said yesterday with Robbie Weinstein's question, confident, you know, about Rocker being there, 4 days rest. Do you think that would be a full, I mean, it'd be the last game. It'd be it. Like just a full start and go as long as you can go, or some limitations on it?
Well, I think they always have limitations, but I think it would be pretty close to full. The thing about Rocker and Leiter and anyone on this team who's draft eligible this year, which also includes Murphy and Maldonado as a sophomore is draft eligible. These guys are getting picked, and especially under the new minor league format, they're probably not pitching again this year. So I don't think it's the end of the world if there's one extra outing or 20 extra pitches or one extra inning this week. So I think it would definitely be Rocker on Wednesday, but like you said, it was a big break. I think if Leiter did end up pitching Saturday in a game against NC State, they come back on Wednesday, and then really that's the only time you would see Rocker or Leiter again, and maybe it's Rocker starting or Leiter in relief, and now that's all in fantasy land, and we have no idea if it would ever happen, but it's a lot of innings to cover, and all of a sudden you get to the finals, and you don't have those precious off days anymore either.
Max, in a series like this against Mississippi State, how big of a weapon can the speed of Bradfield and Vaz on the base paths be against a team where we talked about it heading into this segment? Is it Mississippi State? They strike out a ton of batters. How big of a deal, if you can get those two guys specifically on the base paths and use their speed, how big of a weapon can that be for Vanderbilt in this series?
Yeah, the way Vandy beat Mississippi State in the regular season, especially in Game 3 of the series, which was a rubber match and Vandy won, they were taking extra bases. They were hitting the balls in the gaps. I mean, they were doing station-to-station, hard 90s, taking 180s, even 270s type of offense. So that's how they beat Mississippi State in the regular season. I think they're going to need to do it again, and they really weren't aggressive, especially in those first couple of games. And that's really the moment amongst all others. And, I mean, this entire time I've been thinking, I wish I would have been there. This would have been a great game to report on and have open locker room access, all of that. Just because 2 years ago, after any game, you could go interview any player you wanted and ask them anything. And I come away with the podcast with quotes from 10 different players on it after every single game. And I was shocked how not aggressive they were at times, especially with Bradfield. So my question to him would have been, did you have a green light there, you didn't go, or is the green light that you've had most of the season gone? And I haven't heard any definitive answer on that, so I'm fine with them not taking risks, especially early in games, but when he's got a read on the pickoff move, I think they will be a little more aggressive.
Yeah, and I mean, it just, I mean, small ball, you know, when you're struggling like they are, I mean, stuff like that can make such a difference for you. Max, what about the Mississippi State pitching situation? Obviously, McLeod tonight, but how do you think it looks? What, 3 days rest for their ace? I mean, again, it's the same thing. It's like, this is it, right? I mean, this is for the whole thing, but my gosh, that's a short period of time.
Yeah, and Bednar was the one who beat Vandy in the regular season, too. That was a Bednar versus Leiter game. Rowdy Jordan hit a leadoff homer. Leiter didn't get into the sixth inning, and Mississippi State won the game. So, I mean, Vandy's seen all these guys once all the way through before, and the same can be said for Mississippi State against Vandy, especially because Chris McElvain had his longest outing of the season by far against Mississippi State. So someone who's kind of been more of a newer emergence for Vandy as a key arm down the stretch, did pitch against Mississippi State, did pitch against everybody in their lineup twice through. So it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, I think Mississippi State is, I think it's almost even. I don't think Mississippi State is at that much more of a disadvantage than Vandy by playing the extra game. And I think if they need Bednar, they'll find a way to get him in.
Max Herz from the Anchor Down podcast, also the SEC Network as well, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check Max out here in about 15 minutes or so on Darren Donica Chase as well. Max, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, brother.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks. Max Herz from the Anchor Down podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, we'll give our final thoughts looking ahead to Game 1 tonight of the College World Series Finals between Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day. Thanks to Max Herz for joining us in the last segment. Del Rexrode, as you look ahead tonight, we would assume Jack Leiter will be on the mound tonight for Vanderbilt, although Tim Corbin has not confirmed that.
Right, that's right.
He's not going
it's
to confirm
It's not official.
That. It's not official.
See, so Mississippi State's coach, he's all like, oh, yeah, McLeod will be McLeod.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's kind of like the anti-Corbin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give him an edge, man.
Don't give him any edge. That's true. What do you think? So you threw it out there. Tim Corbin has expressed confidence that if this series gets to Game 3, I think there's a pretty good chance that it will, that Kumar Rocker could be available, and he's confident that Kumar Rocker could pitch. If that's the case and Game 3 comes around, what's your confidence level in 4 days rest, Kumar Rocker coming in? How close to the Kumar Rocker that we normally see do you think he can be on 4 days rest in a winner-take-all for the national title game at that point in Game 3?
Well, I will say, you know, I don't think Rocker really had his best stuff the other day.
Nope.
And they won 3-1. Again, half that lineup is – well, the guy who gave him the most trouble was the pitcher.
So he could not solve Sam Heifel.
Yeah,
for sure.
Sam Heifel's out there just spraying line drives all over the field. But he, early on, I think when he struck out 8 of the first 9 batters?
Yeah.
And that curveball, slurve, whatever you want to call it, was just dropping off the table. And then really he lost, it looked like kind of lost control of that. He just didn't have the command that he does a lot with that. And, you know, he's got the fastball. He was able to ramp that up a few times in big moments, but it wasn't his best stuff. So now you go from, and of course, again, not your best stuff. You're still facing some very good hitters in that lineup, and you did well against them, but now you're going 4 days rest. Obviously with his size, with his experience, with the way he stepped up in this tournament so many times, you feel pretty confident. I mean, you feel pretty good about having him. You'd like to have like another day of rest. And maybe it limits, you know, the outing to some extent. I don't know. But yeah, if you're Vanderbilt and you get to that, even if you might be looking at Bednar and to some extent, who is definitely their best pitcher, I think you'd feel good about the overall matchup.
I think you do too. 4 days rest coming in there.
Well, yeah, four days rest. 4 days rest with no tomorrow versus we know. I'm very disappointed that Max is taking the wrong
Team
side,
Robbie.
Taking the wrong side of history here. But, you know, he's young.
Yes, he is. James on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi is the one who loses out. You promised her a pedicure So I think you should all get one because of the no contest. You all lost.
That's true.
So I mean, James taking a different approach. We've kind of come up with, I think, a solution to this pedicure problem where maybe Tim Corbin can help us out after this, all this is said and done and tell us who he was going to start. But James taking a different approach, saying we've all lost, therefore we all get one.
Okay, how about this? The point is that Heidi does need to get a – Heidi needs a free pedicure out of this. I mean, I think that's only fair, right? So if Corbin will answer definitively, then the bet will be dictated by that. If Corbin comes out and says, well, I can't tell you, I'm not totally sure, then we all have to get it. The problem with saying that is then that's probably what he'll do so that we all have to say it.
God. Yeah.
Let's keep that between us.
I feel like you've set this up for Corbin to come on because you know something and you're just waiting.
I do know something. I told you, I absolutely am quoting a source saying that the plan was not for Jack Leiter.
Well, that's fine, but plan changed. It can change very quickly.
No, I know. Listen, the plan was for Jack Leiter to be pitching tonight just as he is. Can I say 100% that's how it would have turned out? I can't because you do go by how's a kid feeling, what's a kid saying, what's a kid's parent saying.
Sure.
I mean, you go through that. But, I mean, to me, the difference maker is, again, what is the most and best Jack Leiter you'll get in an attempt to win four games, win a national championship, and it was always this.
It turns out tonight. The best way to do that is NC State not playing.
That helps. That does help. That makes it very easy.
Turns out.
So as long as you like push hard and get into those, you know.
If I would have predicted that, you would have had to get like seven pedicures.
Yeah, or something else. What else would be like an uncomfortable, like public manipulation of your body?
I'm not sure.
Like a weird massage? I don't know.
Maybe. But, I don't know.
So, now, I agree, though. Heidi should not have to lose out here. So, Heidi, one way or another, as long as
we'll
you show up, Heidi, you'll get your pedicure.
Yes. We'll figure it out. And look, I think Ryan Porth, I know he's on vacation this week. He's not here to answer for himself. But like, if it turns out that we're in the wrong, meaning Porth and myself, and Corbin comes on and says, oh, yeah, I mean, we're not going to start Leiter ever. I will accept the consequences. I'll go get this pedicure. You have my word. I'm not convinced Ryan Porth follows through. I think there could be a little bit of strong arming that we'll have to do at that point.
Well, that'd be very disappointing. We could always like throw Elijah in there, right? Throw Elijah in for a quick pedicure.
Are we just volunteering Elijah for a pedicure? How do you feel
about that? Where do you come down on pedicures?
I don't mind. I've never had one. I've always thought like
you don't mind them?
Never had one. He's already said, you know, he's got some pretty
I'm open to trying.
He's worried about kicking someone.
I think whoever does it has to sign a waiver that if you tickle my feet and I kick you in the face on accident, on some involuntary reaction, you can't sue me. I think that's the only thing we'll have to do.
Okay.
I think that's reasonable.
All right. That's fine. So we could throw – or also, I mean, I guess Chase could take – but Chase already wanted to be in on this.
Yeah. I think he's kind of just searching for a pedicure.
Chase really, really wants a pedicure.
Yeah, just go get one, man. Nothing wrong with that.
It's more fun with your friends.
Joe, as you look ahead to this series beginning tonight for Vanderbilt, game one at 6 o'clock, you can check it out on ESPN2. Jack Leiter, we assume, is on the mound. Your key to victory for Vanderbilt in this series against Mississippi State, we've heard it from Max. They've already played once this year, Vanderbilt winning in the rubber match. What's your key to victory for the Doors against Mississippi State?
I mean, I think the key is just that like you've got to get more out of your lineup. You've got to – and to me that means like you need a couple guys – to step up. I wouldn't say everyone is in a funk. You know, Vaz is doing stuff for you.
Yep.
I think Vaz and Bradfield getting on the bases, making things happen, you know, getting those pitchers off their game, get them in the stretch. I think you've got to try to manufacture some runs based on how the collective is swinging the bat right now. But I don't think Vanderbilt's going to win two games hitting like this. I think you've got – and maybe Max is right. I think it would be a good move to put Isaiah Thomas back in there. There's a guy who has had so many big hits this year. Maybe a little bit of a break and then come back fresh will do him good if that's the plan.
Well, you've got to get something out of the middle part of that lineup. 3, 4, and 5. I mean, they've not given you much so far in this tournament.
I mean, Keegan's had some moments.
You can throw Carter Young in there too. Like, you've got to get something out of the two-hole as well. So, like, the middle part of that lineup, they've not gotten a lot from so far in this tournament, and they've got to find a way to fix that. And look, you know, I don't know how fully close to healthy Carter Young is. Like, maybe you're just not going to get that from him at this side based on the injuries that he's had to deal with to get to this point. He can now hit from both sides of the plate, but can you hit anywhere near, you know, your full ability? I don't know. I mean, he did have a massive home run so far in this tournament, so maybe he's just in a slump at the moment. But to me, like, if you don't get more production out of that middle part of your lineup right there, it's just going to be tough to win.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think Carter Young, I mean, look, I think the injury has affected the at-bats, and I think maybe the at-bats have affected the defense. And look, they're not here, if not for what he did in the first game of this whole thing in Omaha. So you got to remember that too. But, yeah, that would be big. Just the top of that order. Bradfield, get on. Carter Young, make things happen. Makes everything easier for everybody. They are not facing the absolute best, at least until Wednesday. But Mississippi State still has a lot of arms, and tonight a really good starter going.
Would help to have another gem from Jack Leiter tonight as well. So we'll see if Vanderbilt can get that done. Tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, ESPN2, Vanderbilt taking on Mississippi State in Game 1 of the College World Series Final. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.